So today, I want to wrap it up and I want to talk about enjoying rest. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's time to enjoy rest. Say it like you mean it. Say, it's time for you to enjoy rest. All right, let's go back to that scripture that we've been walking through all throughout this, our teaching. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And if you came late when we announced Workers Appreciation Service, we have Workers Appreciation Service on the 11th. Am I right? 11th of December. And it's just to say thank you and just pray for our people that God has used to make ministry happen in this house in the year 2022, and just love on them. Ministry has been happening in this place with a lot of people, and also to use it as a point of opportunity to tell other people that your space is waiting for you and God is beckoning on you to come and serve in this house. So that's why we're doing Dive-In. And I need to say that I've been very, very impressed about the attendance of many of us. Let's keep it up. This Tuesday will be our last in this series, and it promises to be really, really interesting and very, very useful in Jesus' name. Matthew 11, 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you had a physical Bible, you could have just underlined that fact that I will give you rest. Look at that statement there. Just keep it there. Verse 28 says, "I will give you rest." Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." That should have been underlined too. Because the first time he said, "I will give you rest," the second time he now said, "You will find rest." Is he saying two things? No, he's not. Oh, he's saying the same thing in very different ways. Then verse 30, the last verse in this our reading. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I said last week that when he said, "I will give you rest," that is peace with God. That is what Jesus primarily came to do. Jesus primarily came to give us peace with God, because there was enmity between man and God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, he has done what he has come to do on the cross, is that he will give us freedom. He will give us peace. He will give us peace with God. So now we are not at war with God. Now there's no dichotomy. In fact, you see that cross. That cross was like this and like that, so that it will connect us to God and it will connect us to man. Because when sin came, sin brought a dichotomy, not only between God, between men too. Because it was sin that made Abel and Cain and Abel to have that fracas, or that, you know, altercation. I don't know if it is two of them that had it, but Cain killed the brother. So you saw that there was enmity between man and man. There was also enmity between God and man. So when Jesus came and that cross, what it was doing was, it was bridging the gap with the top, and it was bridging the gap with where we are standing here with human beings. So when we come to Jesus, we get the peace with God that also leads to peace with men. But that's not the only peace that there is. There is also a dimension of that peace when you begin to learn about Jesus, when you begin to take his yoke, and when you begin to relate with him the way you need to relate with him. He says you will now find rest for your soul. It's very important that rest started very early in scriptures. You will see that, in fact, rest was an institution that God started by himself. Somebody once said, I read somebody's commentary, I think was it yesterday now, and the person said, if man was created on the second day, that it is possible that man would have told God, "Let us be creating this thing together and be walking. But God wanted to give man a pattern. He finished everything and created man last. And then when he created man, Man did not have a full day of work until he had a rest. To tell man something, rest will help you. Because he knows the man that he has created, that this man, he will not rest if I don't help him. And so that's why the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 verse 2. Genesis chapter 2 verse 2. Pull that up, please. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. In this scripture, we can see two things that are good there. The Bible said God worked, and then the Bible said God rested. That means that work is good. There is nothing evil about work. Because some people, when they begin to hear what I'm going to talk about rest this morning, they will now jump to that rest side, and they won't understand that rest is only meaningful when there is work. Rest is useless when there is no work. In fact, your rest is an unrest when you have not worked. So God rested from his work which he had done, for he rested on the seventh day and he ended the work. So God worked. The Bible, speaking in Proverbs chapter 14 and 23, it says, there is profit in all labor. There is profit in labor. There is dignity in labor. There is a blessing in working. Work is not evil. In fact, work is not necessarily from the curse. Because sometimes when people read Galatians chapter 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So in their mind, God is saying, when he said he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, he has stopped us from working. No, that's not what he did. When God was working, there was no sin. When God finished work, there was no sin. In fact, when God created man, he even created him to work. Only that what he did was that he first wanted man to rest before he worked. He wanted man to understand the concept of rest. He wanted man not to start his work from work. He wanted man to start his work from rest. And that word rest in that Genesis chapter 2, that now even God mentioned many other times in the Old Testament. For example, in Exodus chapter 23 verse 12, Exodus chapter 23 verse 12, the Bible says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. That is that word again, that rest word. It says that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the sons of your female servant and the strangers may be refreshed. In another scripture, especially Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3. The Bible says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So that word rest is the word Sabbath. That Sabbath in Hebrew is Shabbat. And the word means to cease. It means to stop. So man started from a stop. Man started from cease. Man started from a pause, because God knew that if man starts from a pause, man will be able to walk better. So when man is walk without pause, man is not functional. Man is walking anti the pattern that God wanted him to work. So God wanted man to understand rest is good. And this morning, I have come to tell you, rest is good. Rest is spiritual. Rest is godly. God was the first person that rested. And in his own case, it was not because he was tired. He rested to show you and I a pattern. God rested. You and I must rest. You and I must not just be walk. And if there is any curse that is upon this generation, is the curse of busyness. Is the curse of, we are overwhelmed. We have too many to-dos. We have too many things we are catching up with. And in the name of even relaxation, many people are still overworked. You know, you are watching a show on Netflix. You have one on Prime Video. You have one on Peacock. You have one on Tubi. You have one on Fussball. If the other day I was just looking at it, these things are now so many. And you know what many of them are doing? There are shows that won't show on any other one.
until you go and pay for another one. Once $4.99. So you are keeping tabs. So in your resting and flipping the remote channel, you are even overworking yourself. Because rest, according to scripture, is cease. Rest is not just I am not doing the other things I was doing. I cease. That's rest. I cease. You know, many times we have had a lot of deaths in the body of Christ. Some of it, it's time. But I am thinking that some of it may not be time. Some of it may be because we have violated the Sabbath. Some of it may be because we have not rested. Some of it may be because we are overworked. And sometimes it's not because you are really, really working. It's because you are not paying attention to the fact that you need to cease. And many of us, our rest is not even physical in nature that we need the most. We need emotional rest. Your mind is too busy. Some of us, we have allowed what they will say to disturb us. That's why I was so blessed when they sang that song. That they don't know what you mean to me. If you know you mean the world to God, why should what they say on social media be your problem? Why should the person that doesn't like the way you talk, the way you dress, why should that be your problem? Do you know that the labor dimension that many people have is to please other people? The labor dimension that many people have is to please people who are not even looking. I'm telling you, I've told people before, we don't remember the clothes you wore to church. Today when I was climbing up, I was like, did I wear this shirt to church? Even me, I forgot. I don't remember what I wore to church last week. How much more other people? They don't remember. They are not watching you like that. And anyone that is watching you like that, just tell them, happy viewing. Happy viewing. Just keep watching. I will give you enough to watch. I've told you before, I don't just want people to talk about me. I want to be the topic. You want to talk? I will give you a book. Just wait. Buy popcorn. Get soda. You will see movie. And I will live my own life. But because people are worried, she didn't like my post. And I know she saw it. She saw my stuff on Instagram, on WhatsApp. The other day, somebody was telling me they knew who had seen their status on WhatsApp. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that people used to go and look at that one. They go and be looking at who is looking at it. Why are you disturbing yourself with that one? Rest. Cease. Stop. Take a chill pill. Take a break. Some of us, I was looking at something on the internet, something that somebody had come back to the internet. They've not seen for a long time on social media. I even thought the person was sick. They said they've not seen her on social media for months. And it was a big deal to many people. I'm like, this world, God will just help us. Because somebody didn't come on social media, is not a thing. Many of us, the rest has to be something that has to affect our mind. We need to cease from social media. We need to put off the phone. There are some people, their phone is ever by their side. Their phone is their ever-present help in time of trouble. It's not the Lord. You're always holding your phone. There are people, if their phone is not with them, it will look like there was a robbery that happened to them. It's not like they stole the phone. No. They just don't have it with them. And it's not necessarily that they needed to use it for an activity. Just the fact that I can't check social media. Somebody can't call me. Rest. God is telling us, and I believe this message is very important, because we just left Thanksgiving. We're supposed to rest, because even the nation gave us the day off. But sometimes that Thanksgiving can be a very busy one, and people work themselves out. Find time to rest. Look at your neighbor, say, find time to rest. Say, God, say, even God, rest. What is there in rest, and why should you rest? Number one, rest helps us to be restored. It helps us to be restored. I think it was one American president that said, all the bad decisions that I made when I was a president, I made them when I was tired. If you want to let error be plenty in your life, just be doing life without resting. You will find out that you'll be making stupid decisions. Do you know even the source of the anxiety many people have is because you have not rested? The thing you are disturbed about is a small matter. Yes, it's something that needs to be fixed, but it's small compared to what God has done. Sometimes when you rest and relax, you'll be able to see. You'll be restored. You'll be refreshed. I like how the psalmist put it. He says, he restores my soul. Psalm 23 and verse 3. He restores my soul. God wants to refresh you. He wants to restore your soul. He wants your thinking faculty to be restored. Yes, you have assignments coming up. Yes, you have commitment coming up. But you need to take some time to rest. What is there in rest? Rest helps us to be restored. Rest is also part of the creation cycle. If you want to be creative, rest. I'm saying this at this time so that some of us can find days where we can take out time to rest and wait on God for 2023. If you want to be creative in 2023, don't just wait for the year to show up. Happy New Year! It's not new. It's not New Year because you shouted Happy New Year. It's going to be New Year because a new you showed up there. And a new you will show up there if you follow God's pattern. Because you see, the creation of God did not end until God brought rest. So when there was rest, the cycle began again. So rest helps this creation cycle. The Bible says on that 7 day in Genesis 2:2 that God rested. Rest helps us to be restored. Rest is a part of the creation cycle. And if this will help you, God the Father rested. Even God the Son, when Jesus was here, Jesus rested. The Bible speaking in Mark chapter 6 verse 31. Mark chapter 6 verse 31. This is Jesus. Jesus says, come ye aside and rest for a while. He said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. This is ministry. This is Jesus. He says, leave it. Life will continue. You know, sometimes one of the things that baffles me is how life seemingly moves on after somebody dies. Have you noticed that? We will cry, we will mourn. But 1 year later, life did not stop. Life did not stop. In fact, shows were gone. Somebody recently died, very popular people, somebody that some of you may know. Some of his friends, I'm sure, they had shows during the weekend. Not that they were spiting him, but life must go on. I have had one man say this. He lost 3 children in 1 day. And this was the man saying this. He now said, the best thing the living can do for the dead is to keep on living. I said, okay. So, the living must remember that when they become the dead, the living will continue to live. So don't become the dead in order to just satisfy some few people. Take time to rest. Take time to rest. God the Father rested. Jesus rested. And rest is more than sleep. Sleep is good, oh. You know, because I need to say that so that I'll feel a little fine, because some people are already looking at me like, Pastor E, look, this is your message. You come and preach it to you. Because you are not sleeping enough. Yes, I'm listening to this message myself, and I'm going to sleep more. In fact, today I slept a little bit more than I would have slept, so that I can preach this message with all good mind. But you see, rest is more than sleep. Sleep is part of it. Sleep is part of it. But rest is more than sleep. Because some people are still disturbed while they are sleeping. Why? Because they are worried. And that's why we started this conversation about rest. That Jesus says, come unto me and give it to me. Bring your worries to me. Give me that thing that is troubling you. Give me. I will say some ways where we can give it to him this morning. But you see, you need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that God rested and you need to rest. And I put it here that, you see, one of the reasons why you need to rest is that those who don't know how to rest may soon be laid to rest. Those who don't know how to rest may soon be laid to rest. I don't want to show up before God and he will say, well, you are here, but you did not finish.
Because let me tell you, you and I have a race set before us. And it is your duty, it is my duty to finish the race. But you see, finishing the race is not all on God. Because remember that scripture that we read? It says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, now learn of me, receive wisdom, and see the way I'm doing things, and then you will find rest. That means that if you have peace with God, you will see God when you die. But you might have died when you should not die. Because those who don't rest will soon be laid to rest. And this generation, you'll find younger people who that don't have children, who that don't have, they are sleeping 3 a.m. And then we are living on Red Bull. You know, when I first came to this country, I used to wonder when I would read the Dunkin' Donuts ad that would say, America runs on Dunkin'. I used to just wonder, like, really? Like, to me, I just took it literally. That so, do they drink Dunkin' Donuts to or go to Dunkin' Donuts if they want to run, like athletic kind of run? But really, somehow, we kind of are running on something, running on caffeine. I know I also like caffeine. You know, I like to drink coffee and all of that kind of thing. But you see, if we use that to substitute rest, to substitute the lack of sleep, the lack of season, the lack of stopping and taking a rest, we are burning the candle on two ends. And very soon, the spirit may be willing, but the body may be tired. The spirit may be willing. And if you look through the ministry of Jesus, Jesus will sleep. Jesus usually was awake all night, but he slept in the day. And let me say to some of you that, because I'm by my sleeping, sometimes I wake all night, but I sleep in the day. Amen. You know, so Jesus will find rest. In fact, there was a time Jesus was sleeping and there was a storm. And when they came to wake him up, he said, what's your problem now? Do you think I would die inside? I've been telling you the Son of Man will be raised up. You think I would not die inside the sea? I can't die inside the sea. Even if I died or the sea took me out, it will vomit me now. Just like he vomited Jonah. That's how it will do for me. But Jesus was showing a pattern of rest. So if you and I don't learn to rest, we may be laid to rest. But that's not your portion in the name of Jesus. Say, that's not my portion in the name of Jesus. All right. There is a particular thing that I think can help and boost our rest. Because most of the time, the reason why we are not rested is because we are worried. And I want to show you this morning, in a few minutes, how you can activate rest by the power of thanksgiving. You can enjoy rest when you know how to give thanks. Let's look at this scripture. Psalm 106 verse 12. Psalm 106 verse 12. It says, then they believed his word. They sang his praise. He didn't say they saw his hand though. They believed his word. And what he now did to them is that they began to sing. So that means when you really, really believe God, you don't become worried. When you say you cast your cares to him, when you say you come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you do that coming to him, and you believe what he has said he will do, you begin to sing. He said they believed his word, and then they sang praises. And let me tell you, song, singing, rejoicing, thanksgiving, praises is a mood changer. Yesterday we were at a concert, and the man of God was telling us how that he couldn't speak for a long time and that the devil wanted to make him silent. But you know, I took that to mean that the devil wants to make all of us silent. Because you see, the thing called depression is to take your voice. That's what it does. You become moody. Most of the people that are depressed are not talking. They are neither talking to anybody. It's the mind that is now doing all the work. The
is now racing on steroid. Their head is now hot, and all kinds of things are happening, but they don't want to really talk to people. In fact, many of the times, some of the depressed people with depression, they don't want to be around people. It is a strategy of the devil, because the devil know that if you believe his word and sing his prayer, you will see his hand. You will see his hand. So how do I enjoy rest, Pastor, this morning? I'm telling you, among other things, learn to express thanksgiving, learn to express praise, learn to make every opportune moment a place of thanksgiving. Find a reason to thank God in everything. Find a thing to celebrate God about. I've said this before, the devil likes attention, and if you don't give it to him, you starve him, because there are two ways of destroying something. You can attack and you can withdraw the life from it. The life that gives what the devil is doing is the attention that you are giving it. That worry is what is giving it the attention. The reason he sent fear to you is so that you will be worried and thinking about that thing, so that there will be more attention placed on that issue, and the thing will become bigger, because what you focus on will become the focus. What you magnify will be magnified. You can make the problem bigger, or you can make your God big. Not necessarily that God can become bigger, but in your eyes, it will become bigger. You won't be like the children of Israel who went to the promised land and they came back and said, we were like grasshopper in their eyes and in our own eyes. They magnified the problem. They paid attention on the problem. And that is what the devil wants you to do. So anything to take your attention off what the devil is doing is going to make your rest to be magnified. And one of the things that can take your attention is when you praise God. You don't let your memory of bad things be greater than your memory of good things. Many of us, our memory of the bad things outweigh the good things. So many people now, if I tell you, please come and tell me what the devil is doing in your life or what is wrong in your life, they can tell me 20 things. If I now tell you, tell me what is right in your life, some people can't remember many things. They say, what's really good about this morning? What's good about the afternoon? What is good about the month? What am I thankful for? They can't remember, because the memory of bad things, they have allowed it to be greater than the memory of good things. And let me tell you how to make the memory of good things better and last longer than the memory of bad things. Keep reciting it. Keep saying it. If he did you good yesterday, say it today plus the one he did today. Then tomorrow, say the one he did 2 days ago plus the one he did 1 day ago plus the one he did today and the one he's doing that particular day. Keep reciting it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Tell the devil, tell your mind, let everything know that God has been good. You cannot forget. You have to be like the psalmist. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. I like how the psalmist often talks. He talks to himself as if he's far removed from himself, because sometimes you need to tell yourself, Emmanuel, bless the Lord. God has been good to you. I know you don't, your wallet seems empty today, but God showed up for you yesterday. Can you remember 20 years ago, you were hungry? I'm still thankful for the days that I was hungry, now that I'm no more hungry. Amen to Jesus. I'm thankful. When I see food, I remember the days, not even when I came to the United States, the days when I was in Africa, I was in a boarding school, and I remember how food, the word they use, I don't know the English word well, is mama. The food, hunger mamad us. Please, if you know the meaning of what I just said, help my neighbor. But hunger chewed us. So when I remember those days, and then now I'm remembering that I have to avoid food, because this one will now give me calories, you know. Don't eat this. I say, thank you, Jesus. Those days, what is don't eat this? We were eating all kinds of things. I'm telling you. Have you ever eaten food with toothpaste before? Yeah. Cookies. We'll put toothpaste in the middle of cookies and we'll eat it. Yes. So, see the way he's all here looking like, is that even food or poison? What was that? Well, whatever you call it, thank God for the days that we are now in. I will thank God for that. So if I don't have some things today, I will remember what I have. Because let me tell you the truth. If you can count your blessing like that songwriter says, and name them one by one and not thank God for everything. Because you see, the problem is you are thanking God for everything and you are remembering specifically what the devil is doing. No, don't be specific with the devil. Be specific with God. Ignore every other thing he is doing and specify the things God is doing. You healed me yesterday. You delivered me from the accident. You delivered me from that cup. The cup came to me and said, well, I think you're tired. Go. I am thankful for that. Some of us need to open a praise book. We need to open a praise book. You are still long on Facebook. You are still long on Instagram. What about your Facebook? You can look at your Facebook. Your praise book will give you more than your Facebook. Because when you look at the things God has done, you will see that he has brought you this far. He has brought you so far. And if he brought you this far, he can't leave you. He can't let you go. What God has even done is more than what you are asking him for him to do. And I've often said this, it is easier to do again what you have done before. Repeat is easier than the initial one. Let me tell you, many of the things you are asking God for, you see, repeat. He accepted before. He accepted before. Are you not the one standing before me? Some of you stood before some counselor officers and you were like, ah, God, let him stamp it. Or let, and you are still here now. So if God has done that, what is the problem now? I've been in this country. There are people that have been here longer than you that are on the street. So you say, where? You don't, you see, I know where my mates are. You really know where your mates are? Many of them are 6 feet below. I know where my mates are. I'm sure you know, you have secondary school mates, high school mates that are no more. They didn't leave high school. You have primary school, elementary school mates. They didn't leave elementary school. You have college mates. They didn't leave college. That's where your mates are. They stopped there. They finished there. They ended there. But you are still here. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't let your memory of bad things outweigh the good things. The good is more than the bad. I'm telling you that. God is essentially good and good to you. Remember that song we sang? I mean so much to him. I mean so much. I mean so much. You are standing in front of me this morning. It's a proof that God is a good God. So you need to understand that you need to recite the goodness of God. You need to let your memory of bad things be less than your memory of good things. Say more of what he has done. Recount his goodness. Don't forget what he has done. And let me end with this. Use praise and thanksgiving as a weapon. Use praise and thanksgiving as a weapon. Most times people use it as a courtesy. You use thanking God as, I am just courteous. Just like they'll tell you, what do you now say? Thank you, daddy. No, that's not what praise and thanksgiving with God is. It's a weapon. It's a tool. Is something that you can use to fight. Like when the music people sang that this is how I fight my battles. I don't fight it by worrying over it. I don't fight it by broadcasting on social media and putting out a trick question and asking my question online and finding everybody to help me out. No, one of the ways I fight is I fight with the weapon of praise, the weapon of thanksgiving. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Like some people will say, you can pray amiss, but you cannot praise amiss. In Acts chapter 16, we have the story of Paul and Silas. The way those people enjoyed rest in that prison and eventually rest outside of that prison was that the Bible says at midnight, give it to us, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says at midnight. So when you find yourself in the middle of the night, when you find yourself in the middle of things, when you find yourself in places where going forward is dangerous, going backward is dangerous, look at what some people did at midnight. The Bible says, but at midnight. It says, but at midnight, when things were bleak. It's very easy in the morning of life to be shouting, to be making noise, and God is good. But what about at midnight? Because midnight will come. Midnight does come. But there's the recipe for victory. You see, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. How can you be singing hymns to God in the prison? How can you be praising God in the prison? It is because your memory of good things is bigger than your memory of bad things. I bet Paul was saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Look at me, Paul, that killed Stephen. How can I be worthy to be proclaiming that same gospel? I'm glad that you have counted me worthy to be able to carry this same gospel that I persecuted. I'm grateful, Lord. What shall I render? What shall I render? What shall I render to you, oh Lord? I will praise your name and shout hallelujah. What shall I render to you, oh Lord? How can I forget how good you've been? How can I forget how good you've been? If you have a child, you have escaped death at least once. Because you see, when they are bringing out that baby, they said that baby was not breathing, right? In the womb. So it's like they bring out death from life. And death usually swallows many of those lives that they bring out that baby out of. So they brought out that baby from you, and you are alive. And some of you have two. Some of you have three. That is three lives. They say a cat lasts 9 lives. You have more than the life of a cat. You have had many, many attempts at death. And God delivered you. God delivered you. God delivered you. It says, and the prisoners were hearing them. Many people, the people around us are hearing our complaints. They are not hearing our thanksgiving. When things go bad, people will even call the name of Jesus in a derogatory way. Oh, Jesus! But he's saying, the way to enjoy rest, like our brothers in this scripture enjoyed rest, is that you give that burden to God in prayer. But more importantly, your praise.